Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on WHKW AM 1220, The Word. And I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening and maybe even give us a call tonight with your questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. And certainly a beautiful night out there tonight. The moon is still absolutely impressive out there. Last night, if you had a chance to see it, right about 11:34, it was actually at its peak. If you were somewhere where the clouds weren't covering, they called a super moon. And this is a point in the year where the moon is actually at its closest approach to the Earth. I think it was, somebody said it was about 4,000 miles closer than it normally would have been. And no danger of crashing into us anytime soon, though. Though I suppose a few million years from now, that could be a concern as the moon's orbit slowly gets closer and closer, I think. But whatever the case is, it was absolutely incredible last night when the clouds opened up, noticeably brighter, I think 14% brighter than normal. And it was positioned at 11:34 last night, where it was exactly the right spot in its orbit around the Earth to reflect the maximum amount of sunshine down on us. And we were glimpsing it through the clouds, and with the dim light, it was almost blinding as it would come through the clouds. And then a little later on, of course, it was very bright when the clouds receded a little bit. Last night, coming up to the radio station here in Independence, it just absolutely gorgeous on the horizon, just absolutely huge-looking moon. And then, of course, even as it's getting further up in the sky, still looks big. Have you ever wondered about that? Why does it look so big when it's close to the horizon? It's kind of an optical illusion, and a way you can show that it doesn't change size. In fact, I had somebody saying one time that they thought that the moon changed size during the course of the night. And it's actually an optical illusion. It's because when it's higher up in the sky, there's really nothing to judge the size of the moon by. That if you hold out your hand and make a fist and point your thumb straight up in the air, and hold your thumb next to the moon, you know, just kind of close one eye and look. And if you look at it when it's low on the horizon and it looks huge, and then hold your thumb up there later on when it's higher up in the sky and looks so much smaller, hold your thumb up to it again and close one eye and look out at your thumb next to the moon, you'll see it's the same size. It's just an obstacle, that's right. It's an optical illusion. But it is kind of neat to see, and certainly if you've got a chance to get out and take a look at it tonight, I encourage you to do so. One of the beauties of nature, the Bible says that God put the moon in the sky as a lesser light in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 16, and part of that reason there is to help us, and it certainly provides a lot of light for us at night, especially in a night like tonight. I was reading a book recently on looking at nightlife during the pre-industrial modern age, before you had like all the extensive lighting that you later developed with the gas lights and things like that. And I remember reading where this one guy would wait for nights like last night and tonight so that he could read and do work without having to light candles and oil lamps. And certainly a bright light out and something to look at. If you got a pair of binoculars, take a look at the moon with them. And a good pair of binoculars, you'll be amazed at the detail you see on the moon's surface. And it's amazing how God put the moon there. And it kind of sweeps up a lot of asteroids, or not asteroids, but meteors and things that might otherwise strike the Earth. Well, again, as I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And we haven't opened in prayer yet, so we'll go ahead and do that right now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, do pray that you would bless and that pray that you would just help us tonight, watch over us. Thank you for a beautiful night out there tonight, the beautiful night last night. And we just thank you for the creation that you made and the wonders that you gave us to enjoy. Father, bless the program. Help us to be able to point somebody to Christ tonight. Help us be able to point somebody to the one that created the beauty that we enjoy outside. Father, thank you again. Bless, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, looking at a couple of things there, and caught my eye here. We were talking about the beauties of creation, and it's nice to think about it. If you look at what we take for science, everything from, Newton and who was the father? I'm thinking of Kepler and Mendel, I think, the father of genetics and all that. And these men are people who were very avid believers in God, and they wanted to understand God's creation, and they began investigating it. And they tried to find out how God put the world together. Linnaeus, the other guy I'm thinking of, who founded the method of a scientific classification of plants and animals and things. And if you get a scientific name, it's Linnaeus that we can thank for that. And whole system of classification that he came up with, and it was kind of ironic after thinking about some of that to read an article in the LA Times that said thinking can undermine religious faith, according to this study. And they were trying to say that the more analytically inclined you are, the less likely you are essentially to believe the Bible and believe in God and things of that nature. And the less analytically inclined you are, the more likely you are to be a religious person. And I'm thinking, well, here's Isaac Newton, a father of modern physics, who also invented calculus. And I took calculus in college, and let me say, I did not enjoy calculus. I took it because I had to take it. If I had to tell you how to do calculus today, I couldn't do it. But this man invented that. He's the father of modern physics and considered one of the greatest scientists that's ever lived. And you realize that Isaac Newton wrote more on religious topics and subjects than he did on scientific topics. Pretty amazing, huh? What's his name, the guy that's the physicist in England, Stephen Hawking? He occupies Isaac Newton's chair. The chair of physics that he occupies was named for Isaac Newton. I think Isaac Newton certainly is an exception to this study. In fact, many great scientists of the past were religious people. And I don't pretend to say that all of them were born-again Christians by any sense of the word. Kepler and Galileo and some of them, they were devout believers in God, but many of them were following false religious systems. And certainly one of the themes of our program has been, you know, you don't have to check your brains at the door in order to believe the Bible. So the idea that you cannot, that you can't be a thinker and believe in God and believe in the Bible is absolutely false. You can make a study say what you ever want, whatever you want it to say, and you have to think a little past some of the things that people put out there. But of course, you know, they want you to just accept it without thinking about it. But any rate, you can give us a call tonight if you've got a question about the Bible or a question about current events in light of God's Word. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air tonight. And we've got a caller here, and I'll take our caller here in just a moment. I was going to say, before I take our caller, we were talking at our Friday night Bible study at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, Ohio, just where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. And we like people to come and ask questions. We have fun with that. But we were talking about how We've had some people come, and we found out that when we challenge people to think, they don't seem to want to come back sometimes. We came to the conclusion, you know, our church, I guess, isn't for everybody. If you don't like to think, you wouldn't like to come to the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. We like to challenge. We like to think. We like to encourage people to think. And if you don't like to think, you know, you might as well not come, I guess. If you just want to be entertained, if you want to have pre-digested, warmed-over, cold theology kind of spoon-fed into you, check someplace else out. We want people to think, and I always tell people, if somebody tells you not to ask questions, that's a red flag. You ought to reconsider whether you ought to be there or not. And, of course, the most important thing is, what is your thinking guided by? Everybody's thinking is guided by something. My thinking is guided by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God. And so rather than some other things that others might be guided by. But you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. Join the conversation. We have Grover, I believe, in Cleveland with us. And Grover, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me, brother?
Hi, good evening, welcome.
Can you hear
me? You there, Grover?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Okay, I might take about five or a little more than 5 minutes tonight. I usually just say hi and all of that. We had a discussion today.
Uh-huh.
Okay, first of all, I'm going to quote a scripture, and then I'm going to tell you the discussion we got on.
Okay, what's the scripture?
You know, the Bible says that when he comes, those that are dead in Christ shall rise first.
Oh, okay, that's first
Thessalonians. Those that are still alive is going to meet him in the air.
Uh-huh.
Number two, it says, in my Father's house are many mansions.
Mm-hmm.
I go to prepare a place for you.
Okay.
And where I am, there you may be also.
Right. Let me interrupt you just a second, Grover, for our listeners. The passage about coming for us that you were referring to first is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and then the part about the Father's house or many mansions, that's John chapter 14. So go ahead.
Okay. First of all, I'm pretty close to the accurate. See, I took... world history was one of my great. The earth is approximately 8,000 miles, roughly. Heaven is 1,500 miles high, four corners to it, then that would be roughly 6,000.
I'm sorry, I missed what you were saying there about is the earth is 8,000 miles diameter. What was the other one?
Heaven is 1,500.
So no, you're confusing heaven with the New Jerusalem.
Yeah, New Jerusalem.
Right,
down.
Right. The New Jerusalem comes down about. Out of heaven, so
not
it's not heaven.
About heaven itself. I'm talking about New.
Yeah,
Jerusalem.
That's okay. That's okay. I just but, get that clarified.
Anyway, I was talking to a woman that was coming in. Undoubtedly, she'd been listening to Jehovah Witness. Jehovah Witnesses, there's only going to be 144,000 going to heaven.
Yeah, they misinterpret the 144,000 of Revelation.
It's going to be on earth. I know the Bible says it's going to be a new heaven and new earth.
Right.
So we had that discussion today in church, and I told them, I said, hey, my Jesus tells me that he prepared a place for me.
That's right.
And that's the New Jerusalem.
That's right.
I said, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. That's going to be my home, the New Jerusalem.
Right. And then the New Jerusalem is going to come down out of heaven, and it's going to come to the new earth.
Yeah.
And you can read that in Revelation chapter 21. Yes, clear. And when you're saying about listening to the Jehovah's Witnesses, I remember talking with one time, and he was telling me that the 144,000 is literal number, but it's not literal that they're Jewish males.
Right. But here's what I told people. There's going to be a new earth and a new heaven.
Right.
why New Jerusalem.
Revelation chapter 21 says that exactly.
And I was talking to Kent. I said, where are you going? He said, heaven. I said, so am I. I said, he didn't tell me that I was going to be living on the earth. He says, I was going to be in New Jerusalem.
That's right.
I'm going to be in heaven. Because remember, I told this woman, I said, you're listening. I know it's Jehovah's Witnesses, okay? First of all, when you go in front of Christ, see, we don't know everything, and I know that. We don't know what's on the other galaxies. The Bible never tells us. We don't know if there's some other form, you know?
Well, when we talk about the universe, God created a vast universe. It's bigger than we can imagine.
I don't know everything.
And
neither one of us admit that we know everything. But yeah. I know one thing, that when I die, and I'm hoping, I talk to Jesus like he's my dad, you know? I said, you know what? I want to see you. I want to meet you in the air. Cause I don't want to go down in that cold ground. But a lot of preachers are teaching the wrong thing, because the Bible says that he went to prepare a place.
Right.
And that's the place. And I heard this song when I was growing up. It was called "Just Give Me a Little Cabinet Inside the Gate." You know what? I don't want no little cabinet, because he never promised me a little cabinet.
Grover, we got other callers coming in. Let me just kind of cut this down a little bit here, what you're talking about there. And let me give you a passage here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that really proves your point. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he said in verse 8, and he's talking to believers, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So he's saying that when we're absent from the body, when we die, the body might be laid in the cold ground, but soul and spirit's going to be with the Lord in heaven, where, as you were bringing out in John chapter 14, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. In John 14, verse 2, he said, my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And he's talking about the place being prepared in heaven. And real quick here, Grover, for time's sake, let me come over here to Revelation chapter 21, and John has been caught up into heaven, and he is seeing things that are going to take place in the future. In chapter 21, verse 1, he says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And then he says in verse 2, and I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And what's interesting about this is when he is going to be shown the bride of Christ, which is the believers such as yourself and myself, who are going to be caught up to heaven, to where this place is being prepared for us, where he's shown is this New Jerusalem. And this New Jerusalem in Revelation chapter 12, or I'm sorry, 21, comes down out of heaven. And I believe it's going to be parked in a geosynchronous orbit over the earth. It's going to be 1,500 miles roughly on a side and 1,500 miles tall. And I think it's going to be parked over one spot on the earth. And the Bible says in Revelation 21 and verse 24, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there will be no night there, and they shall bring glory and honor of the nations into it. So you're going to have in the new earth, you're going to have people representing the Jewish believers, you know, before the cross, and as well as the tribulation saints and the millennial saints and the believers before the law of the believers before the flood, they're going to make up the nations of this new earth, which are going to populate the new physical universe. And we, as the bride of Christ, the born-again believers of this present time, we're going to populate that new Jerusalem, and we're going to have access between the spiritual realm and the physical realm through that new Jerusalem. And I believe others will as well be able to come through there. Grover, that is something a lot of people don't understand that. And I appreciate that information and talking about that. Need to be challenged. People need to be challenged on that, because the Jehovah's Witnesses, for one, they've got a very messed up view of the Bible. They don't believe the book of Revelation as it's set forth. They change the meaning of words halfway through sentences. Half a sentence is literal, half the sentence is figurative, and usually where they make the decision is wherever they don't agree with what God says. Thank you for that call, Grover. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. And we've got John in Cleveland, I think, on. And John, sorry to keep you waiting. I got to talk a little longer than I expected to there. Good evening. Welcome.
Thank you. Well, I guess Isaac Newton was one person that was always looking for a code inside the Bible.
He was. He was. And
they,
a lot of people
they,
were.
They discovered his papers sometime, I think it was in the 30s or something, and I think John Maynard Keynes was one of the ones that bought some of his papers, and I guess Newton spent most of his time trying to come up with a chronology of the Bible as to when the end of the world would be.
Yes, actually he did. He like I said earlier, he spent more time on his religious writings than on his scientific writings.
Right. But I had a question about Adam and Eve.
Yes, sir.
The Bible says that Eve was created out of the rib of Adam.
Exactly right.
Does that mean that she had the same DNA?
Well, I believe that under normal circumstances, if it was just a cloning job, so to speak, she would have identical DNA. Let me pause for just a moment here. She very well could have, and let me give you the reason why. Every gene has two parts to it, okay?
Yeah.
And generally speaking, one part is dominant and one part is recessive.
Right.
And for instance, if you have the experiment with the pea plants that Mendelssohn did, they found that if you have both parts of the gene coded for white, you'd have a white pea flower. If both parts coded for red, you'd have a red one. And if half was coding for red and half was coding for white, you would have a pink flower. And so you could get red, pink, or white. Now, if you clone that pea plant that had the pink flower, the offspring of that that pea flower, if you allowed that to produce seeds, some of the seeds would, some of the offspring, when you cross it, let's say with another one that was cloned from the same plant, so they both have the code for pink, or I'm sorry, for red and for white.
Yeah.
In the successive generations, you would have pea plants that would produce white flowers, pea plants that would produce red flowers, and pea plants that would produce white flowers. And so if Adam had the dominant and the recessive, each version of every pair of the alleles in his genes, then Eve, when they had children, some of the children would look just like they did. Some of the children would look radically different. And so every possible combination could have eventually occurred at a later date, somewhere down the line. So, Adam and Eve could have had the exact same DNA and produced the incredible variety. Look at blood types, for instance. If you have type A blood, type B blood, or you could have AB, or you could have O. And A and B are dominant over O, but they're co-dominant with each other. So if your mother had AO blood and your father had BO blood, you could have children, you know, that they could have children that would have either AB blood or A blood or B blood or O blood. And that's the way it would be expressed because you got the genotype, which would, you know, without getting too complicated here, and that's what's actually in the genes, and you have the phenotype, that's what you actually observe. And in the case of their children having type B blood, that would be the B, the dominant B from the one parent and the recessive O from the other parent. It wouldn't be a B from both parents because one parent didn't have a B, the other one did. A lot of combinations like that.
I guess I was wondering, if somebody would ask you if Eve was a clone of Adam, how would you answer?
I guess in the technical sense, you could say she was because God took a rib and from that rib, he formed Eve. Adam's a clone from the earth because God took the dirt and he formed Adam. So,
but you say Eve was a clone then?
Well, in the technical sense, if you want to look at it that way, because God took Adam's rib and he formed Eve from his rib.
Well, I haven't heard anything lately as far as the scientists doing any cloning, but you wouldn't have any problem with scientists doing any cloning?
Actually, we do cloning all the time.
Oh.
Have you ever taken a pinch off from somebody's plant, like a begonia, and stuck it in soil and grew another begonia?
Yeah.
You just clone the begonia.
Oh.
Cloning's not really, it's just the type of things you clone. We clone plants all the time. And, well, we're out of time, John. Appreciate that call. And stick with us. We got another half hour to go on Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, Now, let's get back to our show.
All right, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to join us, and you can give us a call with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word by giving us a call at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air here tonight. Of course, Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. Certainly invite you to meet, to join us and come visit with us. And like I said in the first half of the program, if you're looking for a place where you can think, I don't want your theology just spoon-fed to you like so much mush. You want to be able to ask questions, then why don't you come? If you don't want to think, we're probably not the place for you. So I don't have any problem saying that, I guess, because we don't have people beating down the doors to come in and ask all these questions. But we want people to be able to think. We believe that you don't have to check your brains at the door in order to believe the Bible. And so we invite you to come out and visit. Also, want to mention that we're going to have on Sunday, June the 24th, I believe it is, we're having a special seminar on Islam. We're actually going to have sessions Friday night and Saturday on how to engage Muslims with the gospel. And we're going to be inviting some people there. Our space is kind of limited, but we'll have more space available on Sunday. We'll be looking at Islam, and we'll have Tom Wallace, who was a guest on our program a few weeks ago. He'll be speaking and talking about what we as Christians need to know about Islam and the threat that it poses to our security, our safety, our freedom, and also touching on some of the things that we'll be discussing in the seminar on how to reach Muslims with the gospel. And, of course, Late Night Live with Pastor Al is also brought to you by Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is open Monday. He's taking Monday off for the summer. It's open Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday from noon until 5:30 p.m. And Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is located at 6668 Royalton Road, that's State Route 82 in North Royalton, there in the center. And Frank's Antiques in North Royalton can be reached at 440-237-4393. That's 440-237-4393. Give Frank at Frank's Antiques a call and in North Royalton there, and or stop by and see Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. Let them know that you heard about them right here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And we're going to be getting back to our questions and things, and just wanted to let you know that we were talking a little bit about cloning in the last half hour, and the subject we kind of got at a quick stop right there, and just wanted to add something to that. Caller had asked about cloning, and I had made the comment quickly there at the end that we actually do clone all the time. People just don't realize it. If you've ever taken a cutting from a begonia or some other plant and stuck it in the ground and started a new plant, you've actually cloned the begonia. It's one thing to clone a begonia, and it's another thing to try and clone a human being. God took Adam's rib in order to form a helpmeet for Adam, and that was Eve. It was not good for man to be alone, God said. He needed a helpmeet, and so he formed Eve from Adam's rib, and the genetic complement that Eve had probably was identical to Adam, but it was all the dominant and recessive parts of the genes so that they could have the maximum variety of differences in hair color, skin color, eye color, all sorts of things in their successive generations of descendants. Well, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you right here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And you can give us a call, as I said, at 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here tonight. And I was going to mention as well, talking about the situation in the Middle East that seems to be heating up a little bit. I saw last week where Israel had called up, I believe it was six of their reserve forces, or battalions of their reserve forces, had another 16 on standby, I guess, and they're getting pretty worried over there. They're worried about security breaking down on their border with Egypt and also their border with Syria. So certainly pray for that part of the world. Well, I wanted to get something else here, but it appears my computer died while I was talking. And if you'll bear with me, I'll get that started back up here again. And hopefully in the near future, as soon as it wants to cooperate, technology's great, except when it doesn't want to cooperate with you. And let me just get a moment here so I can get myself logged back in. It's kind of fun trying to remember passwords while you're trying to talk on the radio at the exact same time. And so do bear with me here. And I am just not going to be able to do two things at once. Let's see. I think it might be coming back online here finally. And give that a moment there. But of course, you can give us a call if you got a question about the Bible and current events at 888-677-9673. That's toll free. And we'll get you on the air here with us. We'd love to hear from you tonight. And also, I think we've got a caller calling in right now, and we'll get to that call in just a moment here. And let's see. I guess my computer is just going to be a casualty of the evening if it keeps up. There it goes. I think maybe we've got it going here. All right. We were talking about some other things here and talked about things happening in the Middle East. I want to move to Europe here tonight, and this is what I was trying to look at. I found this was interesting. This was in the Express, a publication in the United Kingdom, and talking about a plot to possibly push Britain out of the European Union and then to take the European Union and eliminate all the national borders among its member states and turn it into one large country, one single country, kind of a United States of Europe. Right now, they're kind of a confederation, and they have a lot of problems as a result of that. But it's interesting. This is a secular article in a secular newspaper, and opponents of this plan, this is a quote from the article, they fear the plan could create a modern-day equivalent of the European emperor envisioned by Napoleon Bonaparte, or, and I like this, a return to the Holy Roman Empire of Charlemagne that dominated Europe in the Dark Ages. And they're talking about one leader leading this revived Holy Roman Empire here that they're concerned about. And kind of interesting because the Bible talks about the revived Roman Empire in the end days. And I believe that it'll be Europe, some basis in Europe, and there will be some leader that will come to power. I personally believe that there's going to be a battle in the Middle East that could possibly help bring that to pass. Well, we've got another caller calling in, and I got my computer working, hopefully. Hopefully it won't die again. Maybe it's time for a new computer. I've been plagued with that all week, it seems like. But we've got Dave in Brook Park. And Dave, are you with us here tonight?
Hello, Pastor Al.
Hi, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. I wanted to talk about the concept of fear.
Yes, sir.
And I understand, you know, the fear of God now. That's about the best thing there is in the whole universe, the fear of God. That's the beginning of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you think there's any or much or what kind of value is there in the fear of man?
There can absolutely be a lot of value in some types of fear. It can be something that keeps you from getting hurt sometimes. But fear of man depends on what way you're looking at it. We ought not to fear man in the sense that it would prevent us from serving God, obviously.
Amen.
The fear that we have for God is that type of holy, reverential respect for who God is and the power that he has. If you think about it, I'm not an electrician, and I don't know how handy you are with electricity, but if you were going to rewire a light socket or a light switch or something like that, you'd probably fear the electricity enough that you would cut the power before you started messing with it. Because it has the power to knock you down, hurt you, and possibly kill you. And so if you have a healthy, reverential respect for the electricity, you can do a lot with it if you respect it. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes,
and so the fear that we have of the electricity allows us to work with it, and that's like the fear we have of God. It's not the shaking your boots terrified because you're afraid like a monster that's going to jump out at you, but it's a holy reverence of God, knowing the absolute power that he has and knowing that it's only by the grace of God that you're able to be in his presence, that you're able to have a relationship with him. And when we respect the kind of power and the holiness of God, and we fear him in that respect, we're able to serve him and able to have the right relationship with him. But when we fear man sometimes, that fear of man can sometimes prevent you from reaching out with the gospel. I think one of the biggest things that keeps people from sharing the gospel with friends and family members and coworkers is they're afraid what that person's going to think of them. And so in that sense, the fear of man is a hindrance. But at the same time, it can be something that channeled rightly. You can recognize your weakness in that area and allow God to help you and strengthen you and overcome the fear that you might have of people so that you can reach the gospel.
It sounds like in every instance, fear gets you thinking.
What's that? I'm sorry, I missed that. That fear does what?
You mentioned like four different instances, and the original one was the wisdom part that I mentioned, but every time fear comes in, it gets you to the thinking, gets you to think.
Well, and that can be good. I mean,
that's a very valuable thing to think. I
remember one time when I was in high school, somebody in the chemistry lab had left a Bunsen burner on, and apparently it had been on overnight, just it wasn't turned off completely. And when the teacher opened the door, he smelt gas, and he realized the room had a lot of gas in it. And he took off his shoes and walked very carefully over and turned off all the burners to make sure they were all off. He took off his shoes because he was afraid if he had like a nail in the sole of his shoe, it might make a spark.
Wow.
And then he opened up a window and got the place vented out. But he kept everybody out before we went in for class. And because he had a fear of what could happen if you just barged in there, flipped on a light switch, and created a spark, and you could blow the room up. So fear of something by knowing the capability of it can help you oftentimes. Even the fear that something or someone has the potential to hurt you, it can make you more dependent on God so that you can... you don't go off in your own strength and get too proud.
Here's another a good quality and a good fruit of fear. It shows in 1 John 4, like I think it's 18, it says, perfect love casts out fear.
Right, and if you look at it in that context there, the love of God, because I know what he did in sending Christ to this world, and Jesus, the love that he had, that he was willing to die on the cross, because of that perfect love that allowed him to go to the cross, I know that I can have my sins forgiven. I don't have to fear dying. I don't have to fear what's going to happen to me after death. We were talking about heaven earlier in the first half of the program, and our caller said that he's prayed and asked God that he'll be one of the ones caught up in the catching away of the believers, what we call the rapture, and I'd kind of like to go that way myself, because I'm not afraid of where I'm going when I die. I'm just a little concerned about the trip there, so to speak. The process of dying.
I remember when I, before I knew Christ, I was deathly afraid of dying.
Oh, well, yeah.
That was
absolutely.
That was inborn into me.
Yeah, and
after I came to know Christ, just the day, after, I the peace came to me, and I wasn't afraid of that. I got over that fear.
Exactly. Let me give you a verse in Jude.
And then the more you know Christ, the more you get into it, I'm actually looking forward to it myself.
Yeah. Let me give you a verse in Jude that kind of I thought of when you were saying that. In Jude, I actually give you two verses here. Jude only has one chapter. Verses 22 and 23 says, "And of some having compassion, making a difference," which means we reach some unsaved people with the love of Christ. And then he says in verse 23, "And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." And I know when I got saved, when I trusted Christ as my Savior, I had the fear of dying and going to hell because I knew I deserved to go there because of my sin. I didn't want to go there, so I turned to the Lord because I knew that was my only way to escape that, and I put my faith and trust in Christ rather than in myself.
Yes. I didn't have that concept during my days, but it was ingrained into my soul, the fear of dying.
Well, the fear of dying, if you look at people, you just look at people in Hollywood, look at all the Botox and all the plastic surgery because they're afraid of aging and they're afraid of dying, and so they try to fight it by making themselves look younger and trying to ignore the fact that they're getting closer and closer to their appointment with death. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. They're afraid what's going to happen. And
they're all image conscious.
Right, but like you brought up, perfect love casts out fear. When you see the perfect love that God has for us, and when you experience the love of Christ in the matter of salvation, like you said, the fear is gone. You're no longer afraid where you're going to spend eternity because you have the promise of God that you're going to be with Him. And so should we fear that?
Yes, sir.
So it's an exciting thing.
That's the peace that you get. That's very big-time peace.
Yes, the peace of God.
Fear of dying.
Yeah, in fact, the Bible says the peace of God passes passes understanding. It's hard for an unsaved person that has that anxiety about death, and anxiety is a form of fear, and it's hard for them to understand how you can be at perfect peace with that. And but it's because of Christ. It's not because of self, but because of Christ.
Christ who lives inside us. Yes,
exactly.
Sir.
Amen.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. So.
Amen. Thank you.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. And fear is not something we think of normally a lot of times, but there's some helps with fear. Appreciate that call. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and our phone number here is toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll get you on the air here tonight with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And let's see. We were talking about fear. Wanted to mention something else. There's certain instinctive fears that you have. There's a fear of falling that's really protective. If you feel like you're falling, you tend to grab hold and try to grab something to keep from falling. And that's an instinctive thing. And it certainly can preserve your life on occasion. Fear of heights can be healthy. You're not going to walk out on the edge of a cliff and stand there and things like that. It can be something that's helpful. But the fear of God is even better. Somebody pointed out a hot stove. You could be afraid of that. It was Mark Twain, I think, that said a cat will only jump on a hot stove once, but after that, he won't even jump on a cold stove. So that was back in the days when they had wood fire stoves. But at any rate, healthy fear can be a help. It can also be a hindrance, and certainly the devil is going to magnify every fear that you could have. There's people that should go to the mission field with the gospel, and they're afraid to go. They're afraid of bugs. They're afraid of snakes. They're afraid of strange food. They're afraid of strange people. They're afraid of being away from home. They're afraid of being away from their safety net. They're afraid of this. They're afraid of that. And so they don't go to the mission field because they're too fearful. And there's some people who are afraid to step out on faith to serve God, to do something. When we started this radio program about, a little over 5.5 years ago now, we heard a number of people say, well, what if nobody calls? What if you can't think of anything to say? Nobody said, what if your laptop crashes in the middle of the program? I didn't have a laptop at that time. But, people come up with all kinds of things, as the, what if this, what if that? When I was in basic training, when I joined the Air Force, people were saying, what if this, what if that? In some of the classes that we had taken, and the instructor said, well, what if worms had machine guns? People were like, what do you mean? He goes, well, birds wouldn't mess with them. And, I guess he had a point. I mean, you can what if all over the place, and the fear can be intensified, or you can just turn it over to God. You can put yourself in the Lord's hands, and you can believe that the God that called you into something is faithful to preserve you through that. And like our caller said, perfect love casts out fear. And when you put yourself in the Lord's hands, you don't have to be afraid. Well, the devil's going to try and make you afraid as much as he can, but we take encouragement from the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we had referenced that earlier, talking about the catching away of believers, and the Bible there talks about the fear that people had of death and the fear that people had of missing heaven because they've died, and the worry and the anxiety that they suffered, which again is forms of fear, over loved ones that had passed away, and are they not going to be able to go to heaven because they passed away before the rapture occurred, and things like that. And as Paul's writing to them in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he said this. And he said in verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And then a little further down at the end of that chapter, he says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. And studying the Bible, reading the Bible, God can comfort you through the Word of God. He can reduce your anxiety. He can reduce your fear. You can see God's care in the love that He has for you, and the perfect love of God that we read about in the Scriptures, that the Holy Spirit will use that to cast out the fear. But if the devil can keep you out of the Bible, then you're not going to find these words to comfort yourself with. And, the devil's going to have a field day with you, get you worried and anxious and fearful. What if that person finds out I'm a Christian? What if that person, what if I leave a Bible tract and that person gets mad? What if I invite that person to church and they're a Muslim? What if a meteor comes through the roof right now and smacks you on the head? I mean, you can what if all over the place, and you'll never get anything done. You need to step out on faith. When Paul and Barnabas went out on their missionary journey, they stepped out on faith. They could have said, what if we get thrown in jail, which they did? What if we get beaten, which they did? What if we get attacked by highwaymen, which they did? What if we're without food, which happened? What if we get shipwrecked, which happened? What if? A lot of those things happened, but you know what? They still did it. They took a step of faith and they did it. When we started the radio program, we could have said, we could have listened to the naysayers that said, what if you get no phone calls? What if you don't know what to talk about? What if? Well, we would have never done the radio program. Sometimes you have to overcome your fear and you have to let God do it. Letting God work in you and in your heart can help you overcome that. Well, we're coming up on the close of our program here tonight. And again, I want to encourage you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and we talk about it periodically, and earlier in the program I was talking about, if you don't like to think, you probably wouldn't want to come to our church, but I don't want to sound, arrogant with that or whatever, but the fact of the matter is, God gave you a brain, and it's there to do more than keep your ears apart. You need to use it, and use it with the Bible as your filter. Well, we're out of time. Good night. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoll.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoll.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.